Welcome to Shut Up and Ride. Another day, another podcast, and you'll be very pleased to hear, listeners. We're back. All of us are back together. The three are back. We've actually had messages from people saying we like it the most when it's you three recording together, which is very sweet. Thank you very much. And we are sponsored by the wonderful Charles Owen. So make sure that you go and check them out because they do loads of different products. And they've got a really cool, like, slimline like back protector thing that you just have the protector bit and it goes under a jacket and it looks really cool, and I think I need to invest in one just for like everyday riding. Anyway, I digress. Boys, I'm gonna start with you, Simon. How tired are you?
I'm quite tired today, strangely enough. I did get up at 4:30 and I've been to two shows today and I've ridden the horses at home as well. So.
Wow, someone would think you ride horses for a job.
It's a while since I've done two shows in one day. I haven't done that for a little while.
Oh. I saw a picture on your Instagram story today of you riding a little grey horse in a dressage test, and it was very sexy.
He is really sexy.
Calm down, boys.
Very, very nice. I was like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, he's a proper bit of kit, that one. Proper kid. He's quite cheeky, but he really, really jumps. And yeah, this morning he was doing his dressage test for his first 3-star Aston Alls, and he's doing all the jumping on Friday. Show jumping cross country on Friday. So yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Do you think that there's any like credibility? Do you know how people say handsome is as handsome does with horses?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, I find that all my best horses have a little bit of something. Like, they're not, like, your best top talented horse doesn't tend to also be the one that Branny could hack out on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The last time I went round Burley was on Vinny, a horse called the Rutman. And he's actually doing the 4-star Aston this weekend. He's a complete psycho. But you wouldn't put anybody on him. I get nervous if anybody wants to ride a horse at mine. I'm definitely not him, because he's just really weird. But when you get him out on a cross country course, he is just unbelievable. But he's insane. he's proper fierce, but he's lovely as well. As soon as you go out on a cross country course, when they say go, he's like, okay, what do you want me to do? And he's just amazing, and he listens, and he's fantastic. And then he goes back to being crazy kid when he finishes.
We had when we have these 3-day clinics at mine, at the end of the clinic, we'll say to the students, oh, like, we've got a bit of extra time. Maybe you could work some of my horses. Do you know, we'd have a nice, like, do you know, is there any that have you seen that you'd like to work with? And I've got an individual horse who I work on his own called Sebastian. And one girl was like, please, please, let me work Sebastian. I was like, no.
Absolutely not.
Out of all of my horses, only one of them, Touchwood, has ever hospitalised me, and it was that one. So, no. Yeah, you're not getting in with that.
Sorry, what does Jenny. Sebastian look like? Which one's Sebastian?
He looks like sex as a horse. No, he is just like...
He is sex on legs.
Big and chunky and white, and he's got a long mane, and he's like a proper Disney unicorn pony. But he just likes to, like, he just gets excited and does spider legs and just jumps in the air and flings himself around. And if you're not careful and you're in the way, then you can be flung with his legs. So, yeah.
So that's what happened.
Yeah, I was playing with him one day after work on my own, not concentrating. And one of the colts in the field went off. So he did a big, you know, oh. And as his back legs came towards me, I didn't move fast enough. He got me in the elbow. But it was really funny.
Oh.
Because I'll try and do this so we can see it on screen. So you can still sort of see the scar from the surgery. But so I would look at my elbow like that, and I would see a tiny little cut, like a tiny cut. And I was like, oh, it's fine. It's bleeding quite a lot, but it's fine. And then I would show it to George like this and be like, George, do I need to go to hospital? And she was like, yeah, I can see all, like, the bone and the tendons in your elbow.
God, so it was really bad then.
Yeah. But
that kind of makes you think, what's the worst injury you've ever had?
Really?
Yeah,
that's probably it. Yeah.
When quite I was in Ireland...
Fake teeth.
I've got fake teeth. Horses in from the field. And they came running back down, blood everywhere, because one had been kicked in the face. And their front teeth had been knocked out. So we were like, oh, okay, go to hospital. we'll go and I'll take you to hospital. No, I didn't take it to hospital. Someone else took it to hospital. Someone else go and look for teeth because I'd heard that you could put teeth back in. I didn't know if this was true or not.
You can.
So in the moment, everyone was like, split up. One to hospital, one go and look around for looking for teeth. So we're looking for teeth for ages. Then we get a call from the hospital, like ages later, saying you don't have to look for the teeth anymore. We found them. We're like, what? How have you found the teeth? Like, we're looking around the field. They were like, they'd done x-rays and the horse had kicked them up into her head.
Up into the gum.
Oh. Yeah. So they were still there. I know.
Do you want to know a fun fact? There are two things that make people in my yard nervous about when I'm training horses. One of them is when I get my hard hat, because if I get that, people know that I obviously think it's going to be dangerous.
And then, your Charles Owen hard hat.
My Charles Owen hard hat, which is the only hard hat I would wear. And then the other is my gum shield. if I think it's really going down, hat comes on, body protector on. I don't even wear a standard body protector. I have body armor for like stunts and falling. And then I put my gum shield in and I'm like, right, whatever happens now, we're ready.
Yeah, quite a lot of event riders wear gum shields now and I don't. But it's probably quite a good idea.
I don't know. I've never thought about it.
I did get properly smacked in the face at Bicton. I got a fat lip and it was really sore. But like, I probably should get a gum shield.
It's not a bad idea. I've got loads of missing teeth here at the back and like fake ones in there. Because when I used to do a lot more stunts when I was younger, like getting shot and falling off horses on films and stuff, I would fall with my mouth slightly open, so then my teeth would crack together, and that would smash my teeth. So that's where I started wearing a gum shield.
Man, that's horrendous. Yeah, it was barely.
But it wasn't the front ones, so they're fine.
Those front ones are all real.
These are real. The front of this one is fake. Like, because I was under a rearing horse one day, like in a show. And as it came down, I was too close, and its head, like, skonked under the top of my head and cracked my teeth together, and my bottom teeth shaved the front off my front tooth. So that's fake. The front of it is.
Did you have braces when you were a kid? Because they look pretty perfect, your teeth.
Yes, because I had all
fake. They're glued in.
It's because I had all these ones fell out when I was... It's so funny. When I was younger doing stunts, I had all these teeth fall out at the back. And my sister had to have like 8 teeth out when she was growing up because I managed to get all mine to fall out doing stupid stuff.
My teeth fell
all night. It's fine. So yeah, do stupid stuff when you're growing up. Knock your back teeth out. And then a dentist won't have to pull them out later.
I don't want complaints. Although children should not be listening to this podcast because we swear in it. So
Jenny swears in it.
I did notice when you two took the reins the other day and did a podcast without me, there was no explicit sign.
So not actually.
No, you were very well behaved.
But I don't think we swear that much anyway.
No,
we leave that
I
up
do.
To you, Jenny. That is your role.
Apparently, intelligent people swear, so you both can
exactly.
Fuck off.
So I definitely don't swear. Obviously,
it's a good job you two are so handsome. That's all I can say.
Can I just say, if you're a nervous rider and you've just tuned into this podcast, these accidents are over many, many years, and the chances of anything like this happening are exceptionally low.
You've got people who listen to the Shut Up and Ride podcast now going to get their horses in from the field in full Charles Owen head, body, gum shields, elbow pads. Charles Owen's going to have to start doing elbow pads now.
Like a polo mask.
Yes.
I love it. You're just thinking about the swearing. So I just did the Cotswold show at the weekend and I had the loveliest lady came up and she looked like the most, you know, just a quintessential old money British lady. And she walked up and she was like, oh, I listened to your podcast. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry about the language. She was like, oh, no, it's rather thrilling. And carry on.
Oh, that's really cool.
So, yeah, Jenny.
I love it.
Keep swearing. You're thrilling.
Yay!
It's very nice. Like, lots of people come up to me at events and stuff now and say, oh, I listen to your podcast. Absolutely love it. And I was talking to Christina Hall-Jackson, who's a young event rider, to Babington last year, I think. And she was like, oh, it's really nice listening to you guys because, like, being on the yard actually is, like, she does the yard on her own and she's not got that many horses and she does it herself. And then she was like, it's just you know, actually, it can be quite lonely on the yard sometimes. So it's really nice to be able to like listen to you guys as we're going along. So it's really, that's, I think that's lovely.
Ah, who'd have thought people would want to listen to us?
Talking utter rubbish.
Utter shit. Well, if you are listening, can you like, share, follow this podcast, please? Because we need lots of people to love it as well. Thank you. We do get so many messages. And I have to say, oh, God, if I haven't replied to you on Instagram or wherever else, we're more on TikTok as well now, guys. Follow us on TikTok.
We're on TikTok.
Idea what I'm doing. I posted something with Silly Prune in it and loads of people liked it. So I need Hannah. I'm going to meeting up with Hannah in September when I'm back in the UK. And I'm hoping she can give me a TikTok masterclass. Because
Her main platform, or is she mainly Instagram?
No, she has TikTok. Wait there, I'll tell you how many followers she's got on TikTok. It's nuts. Sound. Oh, see, I don't know how to bloody work it. It's a problem.
Jenny's left porn on her phone.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. She has 386.1k followers and 16.5 million likes.
That's what does that mean?
I don't really know. Means on
TikTok. How many followers?
360,000.
300. And then, but then they do like. So is that how many people have liked each video?
Yeah, I think so. It's all the likes she's had on all the videos she's done.
Oh, okay. But like her videos are nice.
Wow. I mean, that is a lot of followers.
That is, isn't it? Yeah. So yeah, I put a video up with her in it. The one where she's with the CEO of Charles Owen, Dave/Steve, who we love. And remember on her episode, she talked about what body part she would be. So she says to Dave, what body part would you be? And he says, a massive helmet.
Did you really?
Yeah, have you not seen this video? No, you are tagged in it, you lunatics.
That's funny.
Was that a conversation we had with her?
Yes, what she said she'd be a mole because she said she'd be a mole and that we would be something useful like knees.
We really need to get better questions for our guests when they're coming.
I know, really high end, isn't it?
Which body part would you decide to be?
It's funny you can't even remember it as well, Ben. It shows that everything just blurs into one in your life. Right, Benjamin. Me and Ben chatted the other night for about an hour, and I realised because we recorded a pod, you guys recorded a pod, and then we recorded one with the brilliant Michael Duffy, and I hadn't actually spoken to him for nearly 2 months. So, Benjamin, you handsome, bloody, gorgeous lunk of love, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm a very happy boy. I just got two new ponies. So I'm
what the fuck?
Happy.
How does Jill know about this, your mother? Does Jill know?
Oh, they were a bargain. They were an absolute bargain. 4 years old and 6 year old. 2 Andalusian geldings, brothers.
Where did they come from?
Mill Park Andalusian, I think, is the stud that they came from. They are just blooming lovely. So I've worked with them both on clinics. They've come on clinics before. And when the lady brought them on the clinic, I said, if you ever want to sell these horses, please, please, please give me first refusal. So I have, I posted a first little teaser video of one of them on Facebook.
Sorry, Ben. So these ones obviously really took your eye, or like, what is it that makes you go, oh God, this is going to be a really good one? What makes you think that it's going to be special?
So rather childishly, at first, the colour. I love the colour. I just love them. So that gets them an interest straight away. They're better built. I'm not normally... Yeah, that's one of them.
I'm just showing Simon a picture of Biz.
Biz. Yes, he's very nice.
And what's the other one called?
Sunto.
What?
So they're Sunto.
Sunto.
Sunto?
Yeah. So they're built better and move better than mine. Bless them. My boys are brilliant, but they are a bit of a motley crew. And so it was like, that was a big factor in their favour. But yeah, when I worked them in the lessons, I just fell in love with them. And they're both doing so well. So that's a massive, exciting thing. I definitely don't need any more horses now. I've got enough young horses to keep me going for a long, long time. And apart from that, we've been on the road. We've been performing all over, which has been lovely.
How was, because you were at the Cotswold show, weren't you, last weekend?
Yeah, Cotswolds was amazing. It was red hot. But apart from that, it was absolutely cracking. Horses were on form. I did all my new Roman ride jumping in the long reins. I've been rehearsing at home out at a show for the first time. So that was That was really, really nice.
I was looking at your times on that. Like, didn't you have like one at 1:30 and another one at 2:30? Like,
one at 1:30 and 4:30.
Oh,
which
okay.
Still too close, really. I prefer like an 11 o'clock and a 4 o'clock, so that I can properly decompress horses in between. But luckily, there's only the only really hard fast work for the horses when I'm doing my solo show is like the first 10 minutes. And then, like, the next 30 minutes is mainly walk and trot stuff, just with the Liberty work. But it went really well. I screwed myself over on the second show on the first day, because when I set my jumps up for the Roman ride, I panicked and set them up in completely the wrong place and gave myself the most impossible hairpin turn into them with nowhere near enough strides. So that was quite fun with a team of six trying to, like, concertina them round the corner into the fence. And like, yeah, try. It's so hard. Like my little, I'm definitely, as we discovered in Lights, Camera, Atkinson, I'm definitely not a show jumper anymore. But my little instincts still want to look to see a stride. But then when I'm jumping with all the horses in the long reins, it kind of makes my brain break because you're like looking at them all in their different places and you're like, where are you? Where are you? So I just kind of have to point and shoot, hope the best.
God, I mean, I think that's amazing. That is amazing.
You even sent Ben a video, a message on WhatsApp, didn't you, Simon, saying, I just think you're amazing, Ben. I've just watched one of your videos. I just think you're so cool. I love you. There's a lot of love going on.
Do you know what? This is exactly what I thought. I thought I sent that. I was like, my God, Ben, that was really impressive. That was amazing. And then I don't know, about half an hour later, I was like, maybe I should have sent something saying the same about Jenny. Something really good about Jenny. Because she'll be all upset. Right. And see, that's proof that she was.
I wasn't upset. I just hadn't seen it. I then had spent ages looking for a good video that had.
Yeah, so, come on, Simon. What have I done that's really good?
Oh, it's all right. I've done nothing.
You've sworn very well.
Thank you.
It makes feel any better, Simon. I saw that quite late. Just sort of saw it and was like, oh, thank you. Moved on with my, like, carried on with my life. And then had that dread, like, cold, sick feeling of, like, oh, God, he was saying that I looked great in something and not Jenny, wasn't he? And I've just gone in and said, thank you, like he was talking to me. And I was like running from our phone across the house, mortified, being like, he was messaging me, wasn't he? I've not just made myself look an absolute tit. But yeah, apart from that, life's good. And not even apart from that, yeah. As well as that, life's really good. Wild is started to, he's like 5 months now. So he's not eating food yet, but he's like, I let him gnaw a bit of mango there. I held at everyone who's like, he could choke, he could, like, just that.
Oh, don't start off with the sweet stuff. You'll fuck him. Start off with the stuff that tastes really shit.
Nah, he also, I let him gnaw on a bit of steak the other day. He loved that.
Oh, wow.
Well, probably shouldn't. Like, he's not, like, chewing things, he's just tasting things.
Go avocado.
Ben's trying to get him to bulk up already.
Yeah, he's on his, switching that milk powder for whey protein. Let's get him on that bulk. Who needs water? We'll put Monster in the bottle machine. Get him, yeah.
Get him exactly. Too right. I've been bouncing off the walls. Yeah.
That's all right. I know what I'm getting him for Christmas. Some caffeine and a puppy. We did an episode on grief not that long ago, and I probably had more messages about that than any other episode we did. And you said goodbye to your grandparents recently, and it was very sad, but also, like, the pictures from the funeral were utterly amazing. And I just wanted to know how you were and how it's all going for the family.
It was wonderful. Like, the funeral was brilliant. I mean, it was quite a shock to be burying both grandparents on the same day. Like, just to be quite practical, we'd been expecting Gran to go for quite a while because she's not been particularly well for the last sort of 18 months, 2 years.
Does that make it any easier if you're expecting it?
I think it does in some ways, because she was in such a bad way in the end that it was almost a relief to her and to us that she wasn't. Like, in the last week, she'd lost complete control of her legs. She couldn't move her hands anymore. You know, her mind had gone really about a year before. So, you know, that was all quite difficult. But she was 93. She was an incredible woman. But what was really astonishing was that my granddad was 97, and he was not bad in any way, shape or form. And in a weird way, when we were preparing for Gran to go, we thought he'd sort of rally. because he wouldn't have her, not that she was a burden on him, but, you know, he was looking after her a lot of the time. And within 4 days, I think it was, she died, she'd gone. And Grandad, sort of for a couple of days, talked about the fact that he was, like, he was done. His work here was done. And then he said he had trouble with his breathing, so we took him into hospital. They observed him for a little bit and said they were going to figure out what it was happening after we'd visited. And then so the family left, and 10 minutes later they rang and said he died. Which is just insane. They were married for, I think, over 70 years.
Oh, my God.
Insane.
I don't know whether this is the right thing to say or not, but I actually think that's really nice.
That they've
gone together. Like, I just think that's really, great's the wrong word, but I quite like that.
To make it to your 90s, like my grandparents died. They had 2 children, 5 grandchildren, and 8 great grandchildren, which, like, is insane.
It's such a privilege to be able to live that long, isn't it?
Yeah. And like, there was so many sweet things we did with the funeral. Like, when because they were farmers and they were farming people and horse people, my granddad worked the land with shires during the Second World War as a child. And so we didn't want a hearse, we wanted horses. So one of my friends, Camilla Waterer, Tiggy, she came down from Devon with a pair of working shires on a big old-fashioned farm vehicle, like a big old wagon. And so that's how we traveled them to church. And it was quite sweet because when we put the coffins in the vehicle, we put them on the same sides that they slept in bed. And then their plots in the graveyard at the church were the same, next to each other and on the same sides that they slept in bed together, which was pretty amazing. And like, when we had them in church, we put them at the top of the church on the same sides that they went when they would have got married in that church.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. I was going to get through a podcast without crying.
And just like all the little things, you know, when we did, because obviously they were farmers and they put their heart and soul into our farm. When we did, I don't know if this was legal. This is probably against some sort of soil thing or whatever. But, you know, when the family throw the soil onto the coffin in the grave before they intern them, we brought soil from the farm, from the land that they'd looked after and cared for all those years. And
oh, that's lovely.
It was really, really wonderful. In a classic Atkinson style, of course, the funeral. Oh, wait, before I get here, there was one last cute bit and then I'll go to the crazy pieces. And for the sort of the past 2 years when Gran's been ill, I've driven pairs of carriage horses round to their house because we built them their own little small holding bungalow and farm on the edge of our land, about 800 metres down the road from us. And so I would drive a carriage there and say, "Grandad, come on, come, let's go for a drive." And he never would because he was worried about Gran being left on her own. Even if there were other people there, he didn't want to leave her. And so when we put them in the vehicle to go to church, Tiggy asked me if I would drive the horses down. So it was like, just as we set off, I turned around and said to Grandad's coffin, I was like, "Well, Grandad, I got you to come drive in one more time."
Oh, my God, I'm gone. I'm gone.
Yeah, and, like, another thing is the horse that, when I'm standing on the team of 6 in the long reins, the horse that's currently under my right foot, he's an older boy now. He's not old, but he's older. And he was the last horse my granddad broke in from scratch. He got him as a feral little Welsh D from a friend of ours, as a 3-year-old, and granddad broke him in completely on his own. So that's lovely. So, like, whenever I'm performing, one of my best horses is one of the last ones my grandfather. But yes, now, to make sure that everyone, like, you know, it's very sad. Of course, it's very sad. But, like, you know, what more could you ask for from a funeral? The church was so full that the people that run the church made people start queuing up outside to listen to the speakers because they wouldn't allow any more people in the building because it was so full, which was just incredible. But of course, it's an event with the Atkinsons, so it could not be, without a care. Dad has been really ill with, like, a gastro flu for the last few days. So halfway through giving his eulogy, he, like, nearly fainted and had to be, like, caught by the family. Like, really was not well. So then you're in church, and suddenly it felt like being in an episode of The Vicar of Dibley, because as we're like putting Dad onto this chair, you've got other family members bringing fans. Of course, all the audience or whatever sat in the pews and watching on. And then the vicar just stood up and was like, "Let's all sing another hymn." So then you've got everyone singing a hymn while Dad's like passing out on this chair, and people are bringing water and fans. And but then Mr. Ray, you rallied and carried on. Yeah, so it was a big day. Like, because for those of you that don't know, like, my grandparents were such a massive part of my life growing up, and that's what I spoke at the funeral, and that's what my speech was all about. How my grandparents prepared me for my life, even though they didn't know what my life was going to be. Like little things, like, so my gran, even though she was like a farmer's wife in the middle of East Yorkshire, she was more regal and ladylike than the Queen. And so even as kids, she would have us eat, like, you know, whatever simple meal you serve a child, but with three sets of cutlery and all the different glasses and all the etiquette and all of that. And I remember as a kid, that used to drive me insane, because I was like, why? Like, why are we doing this? And then later on in life, when I found myself, like, I've had the privilege to go to crazy things like the BAFTAs and stuff like that. And then you find yourself in this really posh place, like dining like that, and you're like, oh, actually, Gran's, I'm glad Gran hammered me for all of that, because now I know what I'm doing. And like, yeah, the same, my granddad taught me to drive horses from being like the time I could stand. So we've got like pictures and videos from when I was a toddler of me long reining my granddad around the garden, because he would hold the reins in his hands, and like that's how he taught me to drive at first, and like would take me sitting on his knee carriage driving. And it's all those things that granddad taught me about how to tame feral horses and how to carriage drive that have sort of opened the door to a lot of the liberty and stunt work and stuff that I do now. So it was a very big day. But yeah, it just made me laugh. I was like, of course. The moment everyone was like,
there's got to be a drama because of that, yeah, the Atkinsons.
The moment, like, Georgie turned to me and she was like, your dad's going to faint. I was like, don't be stupid. Like, I know he's got a lot on, but he's not going to. And then I was like, oh, shit. Oh, he's going down. He's actually going down. Yeah. And we're the family's got such good humour in them. Like, me and my cousins carried my granddad's coffin to the grave. And it was a long old way. And at the end of it, we were chatting at the, at the wake afterwards. And my cousins, like, we were all sort of sat there silently. And then one of my cousins turns to me and it's like, he was heavier than you thought he was going to be, right? And I was like, yes. Yeah, he was. He was like, I shit you not. He was like, I swear, the old bloke, he was such a good sense of humour that he would have, like, he was saying, he probably slipped him a tip saying, put six breeze blocks in there with me, just to like get them on the way. But we just had the best time. And they were amazing people. Like, my granddad, like, you think, he was 97. He had the newest iPhone, an iPad. He knew how to use his computer better than we all did. Like, yeah. So, like, really sad, but at the same time, who, if they got to live their dream, which, like, for him was horses and farming, and so same as Gran, and be married to the love of your life for over 70 years, have all those children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and then go together. I mean, like, I remember when we found out that my granddad had died, my mum was in hysterics, and she kept saying, it's like The Notebook. It's like The Notebook.
Yeah. I listened to, I was on the phone to Ben, and I was telling him about how I'd listened to a podcast that says, if you're married to someone for a very long time, and like in the same way as his grandparents were, if the woman dies first, there's something like a 70% chance, or so it was a ridiculous amount of percentage, that the man will die quickly afterwards. But if the man dies first, the woman's absolutely fine. And what did Gregor say? Gregor could hear this conversation because I was sitting in bed because it was so late, and Gregor heard this. Can you remember what my husband said about this conversation, Ben?
I can. Gregor said, don't you worry, Jenny, I won't die. I'm going for, what was it, hookers?
I'm going to be knee deep in heroin and hookers if you die.
Yeah. Have you noticed that there's a kind of, I don't know what you call it, but a trend where when Gregor comes up, the tone goes down.
That happens in the bedroom as well, Ben, don't worry.
And that's when Jenny goes, oh, not tonight, I'm washing my hair.
Yeah, what? No, last night's excuse was, I've just hiked up a fucking mountain. I am not in the mood. I went on a very big hike yesterday.
I imagine, Jenny, you don't actually come up with the excuses anyway. You just go, no, not now.
Just beating him off with a stick. Oh, goodness. We have children. We don't need to do this anymore.
That's a really bad choice of phrase.
I imagine that's quite uncomfortable for him.
With a stick. Oh, fucking hell. Right, I don't know. I've got a list of things I want to talk about. I don't know where to go from now. Right, let's move on. You put a lovely post out, Simon. It's the end of Gay Pride Month. And you put a lovely post out, all big, all inspirational.
Oh, being all... Well, I put a post out just saying that... So, Pride Month is June. And whenever I think about Pride, I think about how proud I am to be part of the equestrian industry. I'm proud to be part of the LGBTQ plus community as well, of course.
But aren't there a lot more letters now after that?
Doesn't the plus, like...
Count
go
everything.
With that.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah, I think, yeah. Is that not, I don't know how it works, but I think that's kind of like, it's all under that umbrella. But I'm really proud to be part of both communities because the equestrian community was so when I first came out, I think I was about 21. And obviously it's a really scary thing to, it is a really scary thing to do. And you just never think you're going to be accepted, and it's hard to come out to your family and telling your friends. And but the equestrian community was so brilliant at just accepting me for who I was, and no one really questioned it, to be fair. And I've never had any issues from those guys the entire time, through my entire life as an equestrian. And so I don't know, I'm just really proud of that community, of how brilliant they are at being accepting of people like me. And so I just said, oh, you know, I'm really proud of that. And also, I also wanted to just put it out there that, you know, it isn't very easy coming out. It's a really hard thing to do. And if there's anybody out there who's struggling, then they must, like, you know, reach out and talk to somebody about it, because, you know, you mustn't suffer in silence. And, you know, that's when I first I hate saying came out. I don't know. But when I announced it to my mum, the first thing that she said, I was quite upset at the time. And the first thing that she said to me was, you know, I'm really upset that you've been struggling with this on your own and you haven't felt like you could tell me. Because all she wanted to do was to help me. And, you know, she wasn't worried about what I told her. What she was worried about was the fact that I've been struggling on my own. And I would hate to think that there's anybody out there that is struggling on their own unnecessarily, because there is help out there and there are people that care. So that's why I put that on there.
And I'm looking at your post, and then there's, so like,
you are on there, Jenny.
Comments.
You are on there.
Am I?
There's a picture of you on there.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, mate. I'm not proud of you. I think you're a twat. No, I'm joking. I'm very proud of you.
So do I.
I also, when I first met you, didn't think you were gay. That came as a shock to me. My gaydar was off. I was like, oh, are you? Disappointing. So I think you're very handsome. But so many amazing comments. Well said, Simon. Keep up. You're a fantastic role model. Huge admiration. Beautifully said. Couldn't have said it better, Simon. So, oh my God, I'm in tears right now. This was so beautifully and well written. Happy Pride. But did you get any negative feedback? Do you ever get any of the other side of the coin?
There was one comment saying, I'm not quite sure how it was meant, but it said something like, is it bad that it makes me sad that one of my favorite event riders is LGBTQ plus or whatever letter it is that is used now. And I didn't quite know what that meant. I didn't know whether that meant like, that's, I'm sad because it kind of, you've gone down in my estimations because you're gay, or I didn't really know how to take that.
I would take that more like sad in the way that Jenny was when she found out that she wasn't going to end up in bed with Carl Hester.
Oh, that was a sad day.
Oh, yeah, of course. I forgot about that.
You know what I mean? Like, cause I think there's a lot of that. But because I see it, that's a massive thing, like on Reels, on Instagram and stuff. There's quite a lot of things I've seen of girls pretending to be at equine events, being like, go on, get his number, get his number. And then she walks down, and then she comes back looking sad, and she's like, he doesn't want my number. But do you think, like, I think it's a bit of a joke, like, you know, like, all horse guys are gay and stuff. But do you think that...
Do people think you're gay, Ben?
Everyone. I mean, I'm very camp, Jenny. I'm very camp.
You are. And you and Jay Hallam's relationship, I mean, come on.
But any port in a storm. No, they, like, do you think it makes it easier for people to come out? Do you think it's easier to come out if you're in the equestrian world, do you think? Like,
yes. Or,
yeah, definitely.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, just because it's so accepted. Even by, like, yeah, when I first came out, like, a lot of the people that I was involved in at the time, like, were older, the older generation, and if like you say, oh, I'm gay, and they're like, well, everyone's gay, like, in this kind of, like...
So do you think it's harder in the horse world to come out if you're straight?
Yeah.
You've got to come out as being straight in the horse world. You're assumed gay unless proven otherwise.
Yeah.
But there, I mean, there are a lot of event riders that aren't gay. But it's just... And all of those guys, like, I've never had anybody, any of those guys ever be derogatory. And when I... very early on, when I'd first come out, I was working in racing. And the lads there, they're just brilliant. Like, they were so, like, I mean, did they take the piss? Of course they did, which I'm, actually, if I told some of the stories, I think people would be like, oh, God, that's really awful and very non-PC and actually, you know, bullying or whatever. But it wasn't. Like, they didn't mean it like that at all. It's just, like, it's banter and I always took that as a real positive, and they were really great guys. And so, yeah, I just think the equestrian world's brilliant in that respect. Someone else wrote about that there's a lot of bitchiness in the equestrian world, which I think there probably is, isn't there? But in that regard, I don't think so.
I think it's a weird thing I've seen this year is that Pride has been much smaller this year.
I do think that quite a lot of big brands and companies that have been involved in it before have backed off because of the Trump regime and. I don't know enough about that kind of stuff, but I think that has happened. That brands have been a bit more wary about being behind it quite so much because of what's going on in America. Would you say that's fair enough?
Yeah,
I think
probably.
That's definitely fair enough. But I was going to say, do you think that, like, in a utopia, surely we would want people to reach a point where we don't need things like Pride Month because we don't need to protect.
We're always going to need Pride Month.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all.
I know what you mean. Brilliant. Sorry. Yeah, I know. I think it's always going to be there. There's always going to be a little bit of stigma there all the way through.
I don't really understand it, to be honest. For me, like, I don't understand why it can make some people so upset or so angry about it. Because it's an aspect of someone's life that's not going to affect you in any way, shape, or form, and I don't know why.
The thing I've found with my kind of experiences, very often when somebody's really funny with me, and I think it's because of that. It has happened before a few times, but more often than not, it's because it's normally male, and it's normally because they're massively insecure. The really secure, happy in themselves men, straight men, literally, they're great. And I've never had any relationships with anybody like that. Like you, Ben, or like Gregor, or, you know, you guys are perfectly, like, and pretty much every event rider, that straight event rider that I've ever met, they're so happy with themselves and comfortable with their own skin. They've not got a problem with me at all. People tend to have problems with me if they're a little bit doubtful of themselves. And they're a bit like, and very often I think maybe you've thought that you might be and you are scared of that.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's a little bit, I suppose that's a bit out there to say that, but I've thought it quite often.
But I don't think it's that out there. I think people are often hostile to stuff that they're like, you know, your own dark, like, your own things that you're hiding. I was going to say dark secrets, but it's not a dark secret. If you're...
But to a lot of people it is. And for me, for a long time, it really was. You know, I didn't want anyone to know that.
So basically, don't be... Like, don't live your... Like, as scary as it is, I guess what you're saying is, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking of... I'm trying not to say coming out because you said you hate it. But, like, I suppose within reason, as traumatic as it is, the sooner you can do it, the sooner you can actually start your real...
Yeah.
You don't have to hide anymore.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it's not just about the being gay bit, it's also about all the other stuff like transgender and all that kind of thing, which is another sector. I mean, I don't know enough about that, and I don't really understand it either, because I've never felt that. I've always wanted to be male, and I've never thought that I wanted to change. But I think it's also about that as well. I think, yeah. It's being accepting of everyone. And I kind of like, I just don't see why anyone's going to be negative about people like that. Because they're not hurting anybody. And
especially in our sport, all the men and women compete against each other anyway. So when people
think
about that, equestrianism could be another safe haven.
It's amazing. There are so many more transgender people than I ever thought that there were. Like, it's a lot more common than I thought it was.
I'm not gay, so I can't comment on that side. But as a straight bloke, keep your other straight blokes in line, you know? Like, when you're with your mates and stuff, like, you know, just because you might have one friend who's gay or trans or lesbian or whatever, bisexual, and you make jokes with them like that because they're your close mate, doesn't mean that someone else appreciates that level of humour. Because especially if you don't know someone, they might not know that you're coming from, you know, they don't know that you're going to rip your straight mate next to you in the same way. And so just sort of, yeah. Again, not to bring Gran and Grandad up again, Gran used to say, a true gentleman never makes anybody feel uncomfortable in any situation.
It's so true. That is so true. I've not heard that one before, but yeah, it is so true.
My grandpa used to say, there's three things in life you don't talk about. That's money, religion, and politics. Was that the same for your grandparents? Like, these three things you never talk about. So when people say, how much their house costs, or like talk about who they were going to vote for, I find it really uncomfortable. And it is weird how your grandparents' sayings can kind of stick in your head.
Yeah. I think when people want to tell me about money all the time, I just start trying to put the jigsaw pieces together about their life. I'm like, oh, we obviously work a lot, don't we? Because that's the measure that we go success on. Like, and then you try and like put other questions in to be like, oh, what else is important to you? Do you guys do that or not? And you're like, when someone's like, it doesn't instantly annoy me anymore. I'm just a bit like, oh, fair enough.
Or you go, you can talk about money because you have it.
It's all right. We don't talk about money because none of us three have any.
No,
that is a very good point.
I know. We're terrible, terrible. We're having to talk about business because we're obviously organising this tour. And I'm like, I just want to give it all away for free and everyone to come on the tour and not have to pay for tickets. And like, no, that's not being very business-minded. You're rubbish.
As soon as Jenny says, now we need to talk about logistics and business side of stuff, there's this tweeting just starts going on in my ears and like this music starts playing. And I'm like, okay, Jenny.
I hate it. Fuck off, the pair of you.
Because I've got no idea. I'm literally the most useless businessman in the entire universe.
We're all terrible. This is why we're all poor.
I've got a degree in it.
What degree?
In business.
Whoa.
Am I the one organising the finances of this tour then?
Can we go back? When did you get a degree? What? When did you have time in your life to get a degree?
I didn't even think you could read.
I went to university. I got a 2.1.
Wow. What? You didn't do enough drinking then.
But I can't remember any of it. No. What actually happened was my dissertation, I wrote it and then I sent it to my friend who's really clever and she basically changed most of it. And then I got a 2.1.
Wow. I got a 2.2. That's a drinker's degree.
There you go.
Yeah. Genuinely, this is a shock to me. Genuinely. And there's me going, do you think I've got an accountant I can speak to? Because I need to set it up, make sure we're paying our tax on anything we earn from the... Like, and there you are with a fucking business degree, Simon.
Mate, honestly, no, you do not want me to even come anywhere near your business.
Yeah, this is true. I know how much money you have. Jesus Christ.
I've just realised how, like, look at you two with your degrees. I've got some GCSEs. That's about the extent of my education.
When you've got a face like yours, Ben, you don't need education.
You've got a first in life, Ben. First in life.
Oh, I do love you too. Right. Do we want to go serious for a minute or keep on laughing at each other?
Oh, can I just point something out? Sorry, this is completely going this is going off topic a bit.
He's even leaning into the camera for this bit. Shitty death.
But this, you know how we always talk about how I'm so slow, like slow when I'm competing.
Well, we have mocked you for it, but in a loving way.
We have mocked it. So last weekend I went eventing, and
you should do that for a living.
And I did an okay dress, well, quite a good dress test. I did a 28.5, and then I jumped jumping, and then I was walking around the collecting ring, and they were like going, "Oh, you know, the time's proving very difficult to get, and the closest to the optimum time is 4.8 time faults today," and da da da, and I was like, "Ooh," and I kind of had looked at the results, and I was like in second or third after the show jumping, so I was like, "Okay," so I came out of the start box, and I went quite fast. And I came through the finish, and the optimum time was 4:57. And I came through this finish line, and I was like, 5 minutes on the nail. And I was like, oh wow, God, that's quite fast. And I was like, no, surely that can't be it. I thought I must have got that wrong. The optimum time must have been 4:47. Because I can't have been that quick. So I literally then went back up to the start box, back to the collection ring. And I was like, excuse me, what was the optimum time? And they're like, 4:57. I was like, oh my God, I just got rid of it. And mate, I was the fastest of the day. Fastest of the day.
Well, bloody done. Look at that.
And I won, so that's great.
I love it. Congratulations, Simon. We can no longer now mock you. Is that what you were doing? So we lose our mocking rights of you for going slow.
Yeah, exactly. But I did. As I was hacking back, I passed like some mates of mine that were kind of grooming on for another event rider, right? And I was like, I've just gone really fast. I'm not sure I like going fast because it's not quite as, like, you can't take it all in. It's like, oh my God, this is great. You're always like, come on, quick, let's go. Next one, quick.
So you didn't get to say hi to people in the crowd.
No, exactly, which is really sad. I like saying hi.
Really sad.
Yeah, but you also like winning, Simon. Winning.
I actually do. Yeah, I do like winning.
Yeah. What did you win? A rug? A bucket? A hoof pick?
I won £160.
Wow. Did that cover your entry?
I mean, it certainly didn't cover the day. No.
Yeah. That is diabolical.
It is quite bad.
Definitely covered.
It did cover the entry, I would think. Yeah. Just. It's not great, is it?
But then,
as you say that, like, then the horse's value would have gone up by significantly because of that. So,
oh, that's good.
And so also, your street cred has gone up significantly.
Yeah, because a little while ago, a memory came up on my Facebook from 2016, and it was Aston the Walls. And I won the intermediate there with Vinny, the rut man. And I was the only one to go inside the time in the section. Like, there was a list of, like, the final thing. So obviously, I was very proud of myself. I was the only one to go inside the time. And I thought to myself, I was like, that would never happen now. And then I did that.
Yay!
I was like, what's happened to me? I'm so slow now.
It's called age, honey. It's called getting old.
Not anymore. No. I've gone back again.
I'm going to get you some, like, Speedos to wear under your clothes to, like, remind you of how fast you are now.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a Speedo?
Speedy Simon, they'll call you.
Would I wear Speedos? Absolutely not.
I'm a Speedo man.
Oh, sorry, that's a lie. When I go swimming, I wear Speedos but the shorts.
If you see me abroad on holiday, I look more proper European.
Oh my gosh.
You've got budgie smugglers on.
I spend the full week in budgie smugglers and sunglasses. Absolutely. Who needs tan lines? Let's go.
I'm not gonna tell you why I don't wear them.
I saw in your blooming YouTube video.
There aren't Speedos big enough to contain the Simi.
It's one bend, then everyone can go watch it.
Which what? I don't know, but you had grey trousers on and it was like, oh, he better not have spurs on because he's going to puncture the tip.
This is maybe why you're so slow, Simon, because you have drag.
Yes. Oh my God, absolutely. All that extra weight.
You're not aerodynamic.
No, exactly.
Known to get a pole in the show jumping.
And it's why he's terrible at sitting trot in the dressage.
Do you guys remember in the Olympics that guy that lost the high jump?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Pole vault.
Yes, I love that story.
He lost the pole vault, but he won at life.
You remember that, Jenny?
Yes. I've zoomed in.
Scratch and sniff.
He got really... Didn't he get, like, a really amazing sponsorship deal off the back of that? Like, he earned an absolute shed load of money for a sponsorship thing. Yeah, off the back of it.
Oh my God, right.
Do we still have time to go serious?
I think we have to. I think we've not been serious for a while. Oh my God, I just don't think we can go from Simon's massive cock to this conversation. But I feel we have to. There's no segue. I don't have an advert to run.
Mum, I'm really sorry about this, if you're listening.
But thank you very much for making it the way you did for us. That's a mother's love, that is.
I don't know what to say to that.
I really don't.
Sorry, Mum.
Simon with his perfect penis. Oh, goodness. You're wasted. Wasted. Oh, see, this is why I thought he was straight. I was hoping. Anyway, right. All right. I'm going to put in like some kind of musical interlude just to then... I can't... All right. I need to take a breath. Right, we do have to be serious. Can we get serious faces on?
Yes.
We have to talk about the shit that's going on in the horse world, because we are, despite the earlier conversations, an equestrian podcast. Although today's chat might not think so. So we have to talk about Heath Ryan. I'm naming and shaming. We have to talk about the latest video that is out. And I say latest because I feel like this is one of many videos that have been coming out of the woodwork of different riders. But this one, I think, has hit the headlines, not only because he's an Australian Olympic rider, but because it's pretty bad. Simon, you've seen it and we've chatted about it. Ben, have you seen the video?
I watched a little bit of it before we started. I'm watching it now.
Can we get a reaction? So he got sent this horse because it was said to be dangerous. Is that right, Simon? He was sent it by a note.
So,
by a client.
So basically he got, so the horse had, I don't know how, but its previous rider had fallen off it and been very badly injured. So they were in hospital. So then they were going to send it to, he said the knackery. I've never heard of it called that, but he said it was on its way to the knackery, but they sent it to him first before it went to the knackery to see whether he could do anything with it. And this was its last chance saloon. And so he was doing it to help this horse, and he was basically doing the horse a favour. And if it didn't respond to what he was doing, then it would be going to go and be put down.
And then he said he didn't see it any other way or something. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that's what I interpreted. And doing this and working with it, apparently he sorted it out, and then the horse went on to be sold as a dressage horse and now competes successfully in dressage. And I think his comment was, the only person who came out badly from this video is me. And to which, when I read that out to Gregor, my husband, who's obviously not horsey, he said, well, maybe the horse didn't want to be a dressage horse.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a very... good way of looking at it. Like, yes, the horse has maybe got on to be a dressage horse, but I think it's pretty obvious this horse didn't want to be a dressage horse. Ben, you're watching it open mouth. If in your experience of working with lots and lots of very tricky horses, who I feel like you've had a lot of horses on their last chance saloon, is this the only option?
Well, I don't like to spend money on horses just before people try and get me killed. The bit that really sort of, I don't know if it annoys me, I don't know if it breaks my heart about watching a video like that, is to me the definition of good horsemanship is you try something, and if it doesn't work,
then you try something
you
else.
Try something else. And I'm not condoning the way he was hitting that horse. Like, if you find yourself... So for one, to beat the horse like that, obviously, is just abhorrent. And you do that and continue doing it, I don't know. But to me, that's not even a bad horse. Like, one of the most heartbreaking parts in that is, one, that he just keeps going and it's
traumatic. The horse doesn't try and end him.
Because I've seen a horse like that before when I remember I was working at a stud years and years and years ago. And I was with somebody else, and we were feeding, and one was out over on its own in the far side of the field in the corner. So we went over to go and see it, and the horse had snapped his leg, basically, and it was just stood there, and the horse had completely switched off. like a complete switched off. And like you couldn't move it. I mean, it couldn't move anyway because it had a broken leg. But it was stood and literally. And this reminded me of that. That horse had literally just totally switched off. And then he was trying, like he's trying to beat it in submission, and it's not there. Like it's not. Like what was he doing?
And the bit, this is what makes me so angry, because let's put to the side the fact that hitting animals like that is just wrong on its own anyway. Like, if you dissect that as a training thing, so I just did a lecture to our, like, online members recently about the three phases of horse fear, which are fight, flight, and freeze. Because first they'll try and get away. If they can't get away, then they'll fight back. And if they can't fight back, then they'll shut down. And that's exactly what you're seeing in that horse there. And I think you see it like on, like, you know, if you watch like Our Planet with David Attenborough and stuff like that, you notice how like when the lions get the wildebeest or the zebra, eventually it gives up. Yeah. And it's that same thing here. And I don't know why videos like this are still coming out. I don't know how, the fact that the rider isn't even
Another thing that he said in his statement was that this the video has been released by a member of staff that's basically felt hard done by. So they've released it after they've, I don't know whether they were dismissed or whether they've just left on bad terms or whatever.
At the same time.
But that makes it even worse to me, because like why are they sitting on that?
Yes, I was literally about to say that. I'm sorry to swear, but like, fuck you, member of staff. Like, if you're one of these people that sees something like that, has a video of it on your phone for a day, a week, a month, a year, whatever. And what? Do you know what I mean? You stop trying to virtue signal by saying that you like, by just sort it out straight away. And I think we talked about this last year when I was at Dublin Horse Show. My big thing I did, if I saw people treating horses badly, I would just firstly make sure they can see you watching them. And then just say, like, literally just walking up to people and going, I'm sorry, I'm sure there's a better way you could do it. Just letting people know that you don't approve of it. Like, it's not comfortable. It's not good. But if you want to see a stop to this stuff, stop it now. And I think that's what makes me more sick with these videos, is that are they even being released because people care about horse welfare? Or are they being released because it's one human going against another? Like, are they all actually fine with treated animals? Like,
I think the thing that upset me is, and I want to be kind, and I want to see it from everyone's point of view and in that moment, and we all make mistakes, but it's the fact that his statement is not apologetic. It's a bit like he's pissed off he got caught and he thinks he's come out badly in all of this. For me, we can all learn, we can all change. So for me, and it'd be wonderful if he said something like, I see now that this was a mistake and I want to reach out to Ben Atkinson to see if there was a way I could have moved this horse, or Tristan, the TRT method is all about unblocking horses' minds and moving them. And it's like what you do. And like, if you want to, but it was almost like this slightly older man, sorry, but some of you guys, men can get very petulant as they get older. So can women actually. And it's almost, his response was petulant. Is that the right word? I'm sorry. I'm not like you, Ben. I'm not articulate.
It is.
I was trying to fix this horse. I was trying to do this horse a favor. I'm not in the wrong. Everyone else is wrong. Whereas it could be, shit, I've watched that. Fucking hell, I did something wrong. Is there a horse trainer out there that could show me a way I could have done this better? Because we can all learn. I don't care how many bloody Olympics you've been to. You can still learn. And
the thing is though, Jenny, he's like, so he's 66 now. He was 64 then when he did that. And I think anybody that has been riding for that long knows that if you're not getting that response, or if you're losing your temper, like he obviously was, is you just stop. But also, like, he's obviously, like, he was an Olympic rider. He was a 4-star event rider, whatever. He, like, everybody looks to him about how to do stuff, and obviously, like, I think he's a big trainer as well, from what I've seen online, and so he's used to people asking his opinion, putting him on a pedestal, and he's not going to let that go. He's not going to suddenly turn around and go, oh, okay, so I don't know anything. And he's going to start, it's a pride thing, isn't it? Like, I just don't think somebody like that would do that, especially the way he reacted, way that, his statement was like, you know, I'm still amazing. I just made a bit of a mistake here.
If Ben's 97-year-old granddad can learn to use a fucking iPad, he can learn how to train a horse a bit differently. Sorry.
When you read the story that goes along with it, though, this annoys me a lot as well. Vengeance. When people try and apply the concept of vengeance on horses or dogs. So the reason he had that horse, he says, is because it had hospitalized a friend of his. That he had sold the horse to them, but it was bred by his stallion, and that then it's hurt this person and it's going to get shot, so he saw. But what I mean is like, the child falls off the pony in the show jumping, so the parent punches it when it's back at the lorry. Like, even if you were trying, like, one, again, just ridiculous, and even if you're trying to stop a dangerous behaviour with a horse, and can I just say this as a side note, one of my favourite taglines that I'm teaching at the moment is, just because your horse's behaviour is intimidating to you doesn't mean it's aggressive. Doesn't mean the horse is trying to dominate you just because you're intimidated. But if you're trying to stop a bad habit or a bad behavior pattern, like, again, with language, you need to not stop the bad behavior. You need to disrupt the pattern. And if you want to disrupt the pattern, you need to be involved to disrupt the pattern in the time that it's happening there and then. You don't get booked off, fall off, catch the horse, then tell it off. The time to stop that is the moment it bucks. Then you're going to like bend it round or yield the hindquarters or something to disrupt the pattern. There's no point in being angry after that's happened. And then the other thing, like from a training standpoint, I see when I watch that video, is we talk about internal body focus with horses. And now this can be really, really useful if you've got a horse that gets really distracted. So if you're on a horse that's really distracted when you ride it, have you ever felt like, well, I'm sure we've all found this, your instinct is to freeze, but actually, if you ask for a bit of like flexion to one side or the other, or put your leg on and like drive them forward, then that feel of your legs around their body or that feel of the bit on the bars, that takes them away a little bit, like you being in a crowd and looking at what's around you, but then someone brushes up behind you and suddenly you're not aware of what's going on around you anymore. You're aware of that contact on your body and it brings you back into your own body. Now, that can be great when they're distracted. But in that instance, when I watched that video with that horse it's not got enough brain power to think about what it's being asked, because every ounce of its brain and itself is locked into how that physical feeling. It's bracing for the strike and then it's bracing through the pain. There isn't enough time for a new thought to come into its head to act or react. And this is where I think people get wrong with this idea of force always being like, force is often actually just going to make things worse. It's not actually going to help. And so like a message I'd want to give to everyone, if you're struggling with a horse, remember, think about like any relationship, any human relationship. Between you and your partner, there's what you both bring to the table. And with you and the horse, that's no different. So what does the horse bring to the table? The horse brings strength, speed, stamina, balance, agility, athleticism, all these things that you will never possess in the same amount. And you only get to bring one thing to the table. That's how unequal this relationship is. You bring one thing, and that's your brain. The horse has all the power and the energy, and it's our job to make the strategies to get the best out of that horse. And so I get so annoyed when I see people trying to physically
one thing you didn't mention there in that list was fear. Horses bring that to the table massively, because you know, more so, much more so than us, and we forget that. I think, you know, so much of what we do is a little bit, well, it's based on fear with the horse. And I think we need to steer away from that. And I think it's a really important element of it. I just think, like, it's just awful. Like, it's what this whole story is really awful. But the one thing I'd, sorry to like just slightly change tack on that. Like, one thing I don't really understand is so it was quite a big when it first hit. Like, you know, lots of people talking about it. It was all over the place. And it's gone very quiet since. Whereas with the Charlotte thing, it literally went on for ages, didn't it? And what's the difference? Why is it different? Why is this? Is it because she was like British dressage, or why is it gone so quiet?
I don't know.
I think because she was Charlotte is the darling of dressage, especially in the UK and at that point globally.
And people do like, I don't know, people do seem to like the fall from grace of somebody who's really up there. I think that's why that kind of captured the imagination of so many more people with Charlotte. Would you agree, or?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you think the two instances are comparable? Because Charlotte was on the floor training someone and obviously doing bad training in the same way as Heath was. But he was on board. I hate to say it, but it almost looks like he's trying to hurt the horse into submission.
I mean, he's absolutely thrashing it. Like, he hits it 42 times in a row like that. Like, you know, overarm. It was with the dressage whip, wasn't it?
I'll have a look.
But it just, I think the only comparable thing I would say is it's where ego meets a horse that isn't doing what they want. If you've got to the point where you're an Olympic rider, you're probably not used to not doing well. And I don't even mean from a, like, you know, that they, I don't,
I think that's why, kind of what I meant earlier, but you put it better.
Charlotte didn't want that lesson to be let down. He's told these people he'd fix that horse, and so rather than it not happening and just admitting that, they think got to get through this. Have you also noticed, and I think this is very telling as well, and maybe this is so inconsequential, never outside these videos, are they? Outside, because that to me tells me that people, I mean, I could be wrong, but they knew what that session was going to be like. So you go inside so you can shut the doors, so you can keep other people out. You know what I mean? There's something, I don't know, there's just something to me with it. It's always dingy.
Do you think maybe also it's like if the horse is going to run as well?
No. I don't. I think it's...
You think it's to close the door to the outside world, basically?
Yeah, I think it's, we don't want other people on the yard to see this. If you're walking down the yard and a horse bolted towards you as you were mucking out and then you hit it with a pitchfork or whatever because you thought you were to get run over in the spur of the moment, it's completely different to let's take this in the indoor and sort it out.
Yeah. Can
I say one more thing? I also think there's so much horrific trauma going on in the world at the moment that I think a lot of this, I think if Charlotte's, what happened with Charlotte had happened at the same time as everything that's happened in Israel and Gaza and now Iran, I wonder if that story would have got the same.
And if it wasn't before an Olympics, because I think the big story was as well, she got kicked out of the Olympics.
It's just there's so much to
go. I personally still think it would just have got just the same amount.
Do you think?
Yeah.
So here we go. I'm going to throw this out there. Heath Ryan, if you feel like you want to change, give us a shout. We'll get Benji on it. We'll hear your side of it. We'll have you on. We'll talk to you. We're all about not just shouting. We don't want to be unkind. We're all about kindness. We're not scapegoating on social media. We are about trying to make the life better for the horses. And you're obviously going to keep working with horses. So there is another way. Benji knows other ways to train horses that do stuff like this. And you do as well, Simon. Sorry, I'm not. Yeah. But I feel like... Reach out.
There are so many other things that he could have done.
Yes.
That weren't what he was doing.
Anything. Was he going to do
anything other than what he was doing? Yeah, absolutely.
Like anything. Like, I'm like, did you try hacking it out? Did you try letting it follow another one?
Maybe he did, and nobody's heard the rest of his side of it. So, would you guys be up for that if he reached out?
Yeah. If anyone, like, yeah. They want to come on, we can chat, we can talk.
I don't just want to come on this podcast and be like, well, this is what happened and this is our thoughts. We're here for change. We're here to try and promote horse welfare. So if there's a way we can help or do something or advise or get a different side of it, or yeah, make a change.
Well done, Jenny. This is impressive. We're kind of like, we're going to turn this around into a positive.
Well, it's all very well just standing here having an opinion on it, but you've got to, if you can make a change.
Well, there's definitely no positive opinions on this as it stands.
I cannot see.
Also, can I just add, it's completely fine for your horse to not want to do what you've decided it's going to do. And maybe it's not meant to be your horse.
But this is what I was saying. Like, I know that
one just didn't want to jump, then it doesn't have to bloody jump.
But he said, didn't he? Like, he'd bred the horse and all of the other offspring had done really well and whatever. I've got two children up there. I've bred both of them. I made them. I'm not going to expect them to be good at the same things or do the same things. Do you know what I mean? It'd be absolutely ridiculous to think they'd both be good at maths or both be good at English or both want to go down the same career path. You imagine, right, you're both going to be doctors. No, don't have a say on it. And I'm going to hit you with a stick 40 times unless you're going to become a doctor. It's just a ridiculous thing to say. So why should it be the same for a horse? And I know there's a lot of money involved and you put money into horses and you buy them and there's a lot of money in breeding them. But it's still pride at the end of the day that makes you want to force that horse to do it. So put your pride aside, put your checkbook aside and think of the horse first. Right. So we have been going for an hour and 20 minutes, my lovely boys. So I think it's time to ask you what's annoyed you this week.
Oh, God, I've forgotten about that.
Yeah. I do enjoy what's annoyed you this week. It could have been Heath Ryan. Oh, wow, this is happening.
Jenny, you must have one. You go first. You always have one.
My hormones have annoyed me this week, boys. I'm not going to lie. Oh, I'm losing my mind. I'm absolutely losing my mind. They've caused... like, my skin's gone horrible. I feel like I'm losing my mind. And do you know what this week? Oh, this is going to sound a bit sad. I've really questioned myself as a parent. Honestly, you feel so, I'm like down and shit and miserable. And then I'm just shouting at my kids the whole time. And like, the PMT is off the scale. And if I'm not sad, I'm angry. And then I was like, I'm a terrible mother and I can't do this and I've still got years to go and my kids are going to hate me and I'm fucking them up and I might drag them to Canada and have I give them a good life. So my hormones have annoyed me. And then I saw this post on Instagram of this lady who's, if anyone wants to feel better about perimenopause or menopause, then go and have a look. But she's created a We Do Not Care club. And most of her posts are really funny. They're like, we do not care if we're not wearing a bra. If you don't like it, then don't look. We do not care that we're angry. We are going to stay angry until our hormones decide we're not angry. And it's just stuff like that. It's like, it's just very, she's very, very funny, but she put out a post that she said, one of my friends sent to me. And it was just like, I'm having a bad day as well, ladies. I'm having a shit day, but that's okay. And it's okay to feel sad. And it's okay to feel angry. It's not you, it's your hormones. And I was like, oh God, I'm going to cry. I really needed to hear that it was okay to not be okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to cry. I'm not going to cry.
It's always okay to not be okay.
But it's not when you've got a six-year-old and an eight-year-old and it's summer holidays and you've got to work and you've got to try and organise a podcast and a tour and learn millions of horse riders because you've got to commentate them and then you've got to try and find childcare and then you've got to like find out how you're going to get your kids picked up at 12 so you can drive to Thunderbird and then it's an hour and then you get stuck in traffic for 2 hours so you have to leave an hour early. And then you've got to get back from show jumping and it's 6 o'clock and you've still got to learn the riders for the next day, but you've still got to cook dinner and you've got to do the washing. And then your husband does something to piss you off because he's put the washing in the wrong place. And why can't he just, for the love of fucking God, put shoes away? And then you've still got to be nice and kind and happy and be a nice mum.
Honestly, Jenny, I think your only problem's Gregor. It sounds like he just...
and then he wants sex. Fuck
and
off.
Then he wants sex.
But that's where we come in, you know? Like, you can, like... get on the phone and like give us a ring and then you can vent for literally two minutes and then you should be loads better.
Yeah,
it's true.
And it's just really hard.
If you can share these things with somebody, it definitely helps.
I feel better saying that now, thank you. But yeah, and then I was just like, I just don't know how to parent. Because, like, it's quite a responsibility.
You totally do know how to parent. That's
rubbish. I was going to say, going off the pictures and videos you send us of the activities you're doing with your kids in the summer holidays, I think you're doing spectacularly.
Yeah, exactly. That's a dickish comment. Take that back.
Like, hiking, paddleboarding, like... You are, they're not sat inside on screens being horrible little louts. You've got them out and about exploring nature, loving the world, learning about life. You've taken them to Canada. They can learn about a different culture. They can actually be well-traveled people, you know?
Yes,
You're setting them up for an incredible life.
I just wish I didn't feel like, just, you know, when you just like, if I could just have a little accident, just one that's not going to be life-threatening, but means I can stay in bed for a couple of days guilt-free.
Did I tell you about that when I had a fall at Hartbury years ago and I was in hospital and I'd been so Simon being tired again. I'd been absolutely knackered. I had like 18 horses to a vent at the time and I was absolutely knackered. And the doctor came in and he was like, "You're gonna be here for a couple of days." And I was like, "Oh my god, that's so good." Means I don't have to do anything. I mean, I'm in a fairly significant amount of pain right now, but I just don't have to do anything, which is amazing.
Yeah, like one of those. You're not going to die.
I mean, that's quite an extreme thing to do, though, Jenny, to like get a bit of time off.
Just, and also then I'd probably break the car and then that's going to cost loads of money and we don't have any money. Oh, and that, I think that is the thing about, like, I find it really weird saying the word mental health because I know it's my hormones that are making me crazy, but like sadder than I can possibly tell anyone how sad like I've been feeling, and then I'm like, oh, I've still got to get up and do stuff and I just want to hide under a duvet. And then, but if you'd broken your arm or you just had, like, you'd be allowed to have a moment under your duvet, or if you got the flu or whatever. But I feel like I'd be more able to get up and do stuff had I broken my leg than feeling like this. But you can't. And like, just saying to you, well, Greg is always incredibly understanding and he's brilliant. But like saying to people, oh, I can't come because I feel sad, that just feels stupid. Like, and I know that's what people talk about, but until you're feeling it yourself, you don't understand. Like, do you know what I mean? Anyway, so yeah.
I think we need to try and find an expert on this. About all
the hormones. I need some fucking estrogen. That's what I need. Need some bloody estrogen.
Get all your stuff and stuff like that in Canada.
Yes, they can, but you've got to start on the progesterone first. Before they can give you the estrogen, because...
Are you on the progesterone now?
I am, but probably too much information for you boys. But hey, there's 50% of us are women. I have ridiculously heavy periods. So until if you go on estrogen, that can make them worse. And then you can just hemorrhage. And yeah, so you've got to get the progesterone to control that part of it first and make sure that's working before you can go on the estrogen.
It's so important. Like, I don't know if I'm sure I've spoken to you about this before, Jenny, but like, I remember I listened to a podcast, I don't know what it was, and it was talking about how one of the biggest causes of suicide in women is this, is through menopause and hormones and all those horrible things. And how it was like, don't be afraid of getting hormone therapy and stuff, and it can save, it can genuinely save lives.
But I've never understood how someone could self-harm. I've never understood that. You know, like, and it's awful that people do it, but I've never understood bulimia or cutting yourself or anything until now. But I could totally see how someone doing something to themselves would take your mind to a different place. And it would give you something other than what's going on in your head to focus on. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is, like, I now understand how if someone has this, but obviously you can be born with depression or whatever, I can see how that could happen to people now. It's not even every cycle. It can take me by surprise. I'm like, oh, you know how like PMT happens every month and I get that and I know I'm angry and my period's about to come. But this feeling, I've had it 3 or 4 times now in certain points of my cycle and I'm like, oh, wow. But I have to reconcile, it's my hormones, I know, blah, blah, blah. So like the sensible side of me comes out, but other people my age, or I think from 38 onwards, you can be perimenopausal. If you're feeling like that, that might be because of your hormones. You're not going crazy. Your hormones might be out of whack. So go to a doctor. That was probably, I don't know. I'm not very good at sharing this stuff. And I'm now doing it on a podcast in front of thousands of people. But yeah. So yeah. does help to talk about it.
It's good to share these things. It's good to talk about it.
But it's nuts. Yeah, it's nuts crazy. Sorry, Ben. Ben's looking very concerned. Don't worry, Ben. I'm not going to drive off a cliff.
No, I know you're not, but like it's important to voice it. And I think, as like you say, just voicing it, because maybe there's one other person listening to this, maybe there's a dozen that are feeling the same, and even to know that you're not odd, you're not alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just part of something to do, you know what I mean? Then that if you can feel a bit more normal, even when you don't feel normal, then that...
And I suppose if you have one person listening to this who's going, shit, that's how I feel, maybe I am perimenopausal, because it can happen at such different ages, like, and goes and finds out. But the problem is then you go to a doctor and they go, oh, because they're so behind with the medicine. So it's about just keep seeing different people until you can get someone who is going to listen. Yeah.
And are there any organisations out there that, like, you could call and speak to about that kind of stuff? Like, because you saying it to us is great, because it's like it's a release, and that's fantastic. And like we can't really advise you about, because I don't know anything about it. I mean, Ben might know more than me. I don't know anything about it at all. But like where can you get information about stuff like that so that you can try and help yourself?
To be honest, I've got my information from lots of books and things like that. So I suppose books is like, I can't remember. I'll put it on. I'll share. If anyone gets in contact, I'll find the book that I've been reading that massively helped me. But there's Riders Minds, which have been contacted and said, could we give them a shout out? And I did say that we would. Actually, AB Equine Transport, she helps out with them. And that's ridersmind.org. And they're an amazing charity.
And they've got a helpline as well.
They've got a helpline as well. So,
and so's the British Bending Support Trust. They've got a helpline too.
So I suppose speaking to someone like that in the moment, if you're feeling really down and shit, but I think, just going to your doctor, but also kind of monitoring your cycle and being like, I don't feel like this all the time. I'm feeling like it at parts in my cycle. And then the doctor won't go, you're just depressed. Let's give you antidepressants. They'll go, okay, it's obviously your hormones. So it's you've got to kind of be on top of what you're like yourself, if that makes sense.
I think we absolutely, like, going off the fact that I don't know what percentage it is, but most of the horse world is female. I think we absolutely need someone who's an expert on this to come on here.
Yeah, I think so.
And this is a topic that needs to be properly looked at. This isn't something that is like, this happens. This is like, if you're a woman, this was part of life at some point. So I think the more we can normalize it, and like, because you shouldn't feel embarrassed or ashamed or angry at yourself about any of this. This is just part of life.
And it is embarrassing talking about it, and it shouldn't be. And it does feel awkward and weird, and I'm not very good at it. Because as you know me, I'm a bit of I just like taking the piss.
Again, you say you're not very good at it. I mean, you've just been really open just now about and really comprehensive in talking about it, and mainly because you want to help other people. I'd say you're really good at it, actually. I think you're talking rubbish on that one as well.
I will share the journey then. We'll see if we can help some more.
Not just moaning about it either. Like, what I found incredible is to hear, like, your process throughout it, how you felt, how you've monitored it, and now your strategies of how you're dealing with it.
I mean, that is really, it's impressive how you can literally, well, from what you've described, you can go, I know this is my hormones making me feel like this. So you can kind of like rationalize it a little bit in your head, even when you're in the thick of it, which is obviously a real positive.
Do you know one of the other things I do? Because I get very angry. And I mean, I've made a dent in the back of the car, angry with a fist. I obviously, at times, I'm then pretty unreasonable. So I've got one of the apps I use to track how I'm feeling and like my period and things. It's called Moody App, very aptly named. And it tells you, like, if I'm feeling a bit crap or something, I look on it and it says, today your estrogen levels have declined, aka dropped off the fucking cliff in my case. You'll be feeling low and sad and moody, and you may experience PMS symptoms. You should rest and do all of these things, which you can't do when you have children. But if it says, like, you are likely to be experienced PMD citizens, you'll be angry, whatever, it says you can share how you're feeling. So I send it to Gregor as a warning, a red flag.
It's very thoughtful of you.
Yeah. Just so he knows that when he, because sometimes he does go, what's the matter with you today? And you're like, fuck you. So it just gives him a head up before he gets home that he's not going to come home to me being in the best of moods, shall we say, or sobbing behind the couch or something. So yes, it's a very useful tool. So if that can, I can give anyone any marriage advice, maybe download the Moody app and you can share, you can preempt the argument. Doesn't mean it doesn't always happen, I can just say as well. Anyway, right, so I feel weird, but slightly lightened from talking to you guys. What's annoyed you apart from my terrible rantings?
I don't know about annoyed me, but what's upset me a bit is that you've obviously been struggling with this on your own a bit and haven't been able to talk about it. You must make sure that if you are struggling, you pick up the phone and you ring me. Or you ring Ben.
I like hearing about how fast you go.
On a change of subject, so the other thing that has annoyed me this week, and this made me really angry. It takes a lot to get me really angry, but this got me really angry. So I went into the show jumping ring at the weekend on another horse to do my show jumping round, and the trade stands were it's a small arena. The trade stands were really, really close around the edge. And as I counted round to come to the first, the horse was quite green and young, inexperienced. And so he was a bit spooky anyway when he first came in, and there were lots of people around. And as I was counting round to the first fence, this man decided that he was going to take a sledgehammer to his trade stand. So he was hammering with this sledgehammer on his trade stand, and it had like loads of metal stands like for displaying stuff, and they were all like chiming and rattling away as he was hammering.
Was he having a problem with his hormones at the time?
I have no idea, and I don't know why he was doing it. No idea. And obviously my horse, only a 6-year-old, like inexperienced.
Hello, darling.
And he's only a 6-year-old, so like he was like, wow. And I kind of circled to try and like calm him, settle him, but the bell had already gone, so I was gonna have to go. And the guy just kept on going, and I was like, excuse me, can you please stop? And he just took no notice, just carried on. So that really annoyed me, because then the horse had a really not so great experience. Like, he was really good. He had one down, which was amazing considering it upset him so much. But like, I was like, this is a really bad experience for him, and I'm really, really annoyed about it.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
So yeah. Oh, careful. Oh, where is all
good and fair one.
Careful. Good girl. Sorry. Ren just got stuck.
Mine is going to tag on sort of similar to that. We were at an event recently, and I'm not saying which one it was, but we were at an event recently, and where they gave us the area where my horses were sleeping, they had a fun fair like less than 30 meters away from them on one side, and have a go clay pigeon shooting on the other side.
That's just scary. Like,
that's a lot for the horses to put up with. And like, they were pretty unsettled for the first sort of day that they were there, but then they settled down. And sometimes with these people, like you say, putting the trade stand so close to the arena, or sometimes they'll put like a band, like a stage near the arena, and you're like, who organizes these events? Do the people that organize these events, have they seen a horse in real life? Like, you know, because why? Like, it drives me.
I mean, to be fair, in my situation, like the trade, they were close, but it wasn't horrendous. It's just that this guy literally he had no consideration for what was going on around him at all.
We had a lovely video we were tagged in by, I think she's called, she tags us loads. She's called, I'm just going to remind myself, Horden Horses on Instagram. And she tagged us in this brilliant video where she's kind of talking over it as if she was the horse. And it's very, very funny. You should go and check her out. She's very funny on Instagram. But she's talking about how someone was flapping a carpet next to her round. I think she's doing like the 90 or the 80. And the horse is talking, and she's saying that I was ready for my round. I was going to be brilliant. I was destined to go clear and have glory. And then someone started flapping a carpet. So do check her out. But that reminds me of you, Simon, with your little bit.
That was in the same arena as mine.
It wasn't.
Yeah, in the same arena. And I've taught her before. She's really nice. She's very funny.
Very, very funny videos. She lets her listen to our podcast.
I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to go because we've run longer than I thought I had. And a friend of mine has brought horses to my house to rehearse for a show that we're doing next week at the Great Yorkshire Show. And I need to go and help him show him where his 4 stallions go.
All right. You bugger off and we'll wrap it up. We love you, Benjamin.
Bye, Ben.
Love you.
Nice to see you.
Love you. Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Right. Simon, we'll finish up. We've been chatting for nearly 2 hours. Ridiculous. But anything else you want to say, do?
So if you're feeling rubbish, Jenny Rudolph, at any point, you need to pick the phone up and call me. Goodness sake.
You can't answer the phone when you're going that fast, Simon. It's just not possible.
don't try and make it funny. Don't change the subject. It's important. Okay. Very important. You need, like, you know, if you're struggling, you need to ring and vent and talk about it. Very important.
Thank you very much. And the same with you.
Thank you.
Right.
Awkward silence.
I know. I feel awkward. I'm not very good at this stuff. Right. I've got to go and look after my children, and I'm commentating at Thunderbird tomorrow. Please, people, please, 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 can you... I've got to do a call to action. This is what they call in marketing terms. Can you like, share, follow and share. Wherever you listen to this podcast, follow it on the thing and share it.
And tell your friends.
Tell your friends. And we are going on tour. We are going to be on tour on the 16th. We're going to be at the Unicorn Equestrian Centre. And on the 17th of January, 2026.
Yeah, I was going to say
2026,
of January.
Not this month.
Not next month.
In January 2026, I'm going to make the tickets as affordable as possible so everyone can come, but we can still run it and cover our costs, because I really want it to be affordable. But anyway, yes, so please put it in your diaries, and the second one is going
to
be...
You get to meet all of us, which is really cool, but yes. You also get to see Ben do some really amazing things, and you get to ask Jenny lots of questions, and her being very entertaining and amusing as usual, and you might get to see me ride a horse as well. And you might get to see some special guests doing stuff
some
too.
Some special guests. And should we... We'll save it. We can let them know
one of them in the next podcast.
Yes. So who would you like to see on the tour? Tell us. But yes. I'm going to reveal who's going to be on it soon. But yes, Bishop Burton is the second one on the 17th. So put it in your diaries. And I hope you guys can join us for it. And if you're a brand, we are going to be taking a few brands on tour with us who can get involved with becoming a tour partner and sponsoring us. So Charles Owen have already agreed to be involved, as Xtremes want to be involved, but there is room for a few more brands. So please do get in touch. But for now, Simon Grieve, I love your gorgeous face. Can you do us an accent to finish?
Oh, no.
You were doing quite a posh one earlier.
Oh, yes, I could do that. No.
Simon DeGrieve.
Jenny Rudel, shut up and ride.
Oh, darling, shut up and ride.
Shut up and ride.
Love to you all. Be kind, be safe, be happy, and more importantly, shut up and ride.